Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is whom we must follow. Whom we must follow. Whom we follow is of vital importance. Some of you were at the funeral service yesterday when we looked at 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, where the apostle says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Following is simply the outworking of truly believing. And so our subject is closely related. Who we believe, whom we follow. Who should we follow? Well, first of all, let us consider the contrast between Christ and the scribes. The contrast between Christ and the scribes. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? This is a very short parable. Can the blind lead the blind? At the first reading, we might not see any real connection between these verses and what has gone before. We might think that here we've moved on to something completely unrelated to what precedes. But there is a connection. What Christ has just taught was radically different from the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. The people knew that this was different. They knew that in content and in manner, there was a vast difference between what Christ taught and what the scribes taught. We're told of that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. Matthew 7 verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Or earlier on in Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? In verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And even when the authorities sent the guards to apprehend him, they came back empty-handed and said, never man spake like this man. So there was an obvious difference. How was this to be explained? Christ and the scribes couldn't both be right. The contrast, even of content alone, was so distinct and obvious. Christ wasn't and couldn't have been simply preaching the same material as the scribes, but doing it better, making it clearer, expressing it more attractively. That wasn't the difference. That doesn't explain this chasm between what the scribes taught and what Christ taught. He was teaching different things altogether. Love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. Whoever heard the scribes saying anything like this? In fact, they said the opposite. Love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. As for not delighting in condemning others, which we were looking at last time, the Pharisees loved to condemn others. They needed people like the publican, who the Pharisee could look down upon and despise and say, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, or even as this publican. They needed people like that with which to favorably compare themselves. So that Christ's teaching was very different. The Pharisees looked down upon others, despised them. This people that know not the law is accursed. But Christ is saying, love your enemies. Judge not, that ye be not judged. So if this Jesus of Nazareth is preaching the truth with such authority and grace as the one anointed to preach glad tidings to the poor, there must be something very wrong with the scribes. And there was, and Christ is telling them what it is. They're blind. Can the blind lead the blind? Someone who can't see needs someone who can see to guide them. Despite all their handling of the content of the scriptures, they were blind. They couldn't see its truth. All the scriptures testified of Christ. But they couldn't find him there, not the real Christ who is now among them. They looked at this Jesus of Nazareth, they looked at the scriptures full of prophecy concerning him, and they couldn't see it. How do we explain that? How do we explain that Christ is in all the scriptures, that these men had a knowledge of the scriptures, but couldn't see that this Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ of God? How do we explain that? Were they stupid men? Well, not in the sense of being of low intelligence, far from it. Some of them were very intelligent men. Did they not know, did they not read the scriptures? Of course they read it. They memorized vast amounts of Old Testament scripture. But they couldn't see it. How do we explain that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Every time they read the scriptures, they interpreted it in the light of their own assumptions. their unbroken pride, their self-esteem. Everything in Scripture was distorted to fit in with their vain, high opinion of themselves. That's how it's done. That's how men can read the Bible and not profit from it. Can memorize the Bible and yet still be on the broad road that leads to destruction. That was the situation with the scribes. Learned men can be utterly incompetent when it comes to the truth of God's word. Now, true learning and scholarship is a good thing, and we should all be scholars according to the ability and opportunity given to us. But on its own, it will not yield good results. And it didn't do so for the scribes. They had learning, but they didn't have a new nature. And so they stumbled in all their handling of the word of God. But the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Isaiah 35, verse 8. That is why men in high place, even within the professing church of God, men of learning and high intellect, can be such fools and speak such nonsense when it comes to the Scriptures. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That spiritual discernment, that discernment given by the Spirit, is when the heart and will is renewed. And then we come to the Scriptures without seeking to bolster our own pride. And we receive the true meaning of the text of Holy Scripture, which was there all along. When someone is born of the Spirit, the truth doesn't change. The truth was in the Bible there when they read it before. The change is in their hearts. When the heart is renewed, and we are delivered from our addiction to pride and vain glory, then we begin to see. But the scribes did not see and could not see. And insofar as the truth found its way into their minds, they hated it because the heart and will was not renewed. Secondly, the inevitable consequences of wrong listening. The inevitable consequences of wrong listening. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? If we listen and hearken and follow to the wrong voices, we shall end up in the same ditch as the blind guides to which we pay heed. It is as simple as that. If you follow unbelieving men, you will end up in hell with them. The devil, the father of lies, lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden, promising a happy independence of God. And what resulted was a wretched and futile attempt at independence of God that brought misery in this life and the liability to the pains of hell forever in the world to come. Who is our supreme teacher? It must be the Lord himself. And if we will not listen to him, we will certainly listen to someone else and be led away from him and be led into outer darkness. It matters who our teacher is, who we listen to, who we heed, who we believe, who we follow. And even believers are inconsistent, are we not? And can listen too much to the wrong voices, to the world. If you take your view of yourself and your rights and your capabilities and feeling good about yourself and all the rest of it from the television soaps, then it will not lead you into greater blessing. If you get your ideas about reality from the nonsense that is pumped out by the media, it will not lead you to anywhere good. If you follow those who are heading for the ditch, don't expect to escape the ditch yourself. Blind churchmen will not lead you into the truth and lead you heavenward, nor will an ungodly world lead you higher in your Christian life. We do too much listening to the wrong voices. Even Christians do that. The world will not urge us on in faith and devotion to Christ and holiness. We must follow Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and listen discerningly to his under-shepherds who seek to open up the green pastures of his word. It matters who we are really listening to and following. It matters. Thirdly, there is no overtaking of our teacher. There is no overtaking of our teacher. Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master. There is no overtaking our teacher. This phrase is used elsewhere in the sense of not being above our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, in being beyond reproaches, the reproaches of the world which he bore when he was in this world. Here, however, it is used in a slightly different way of the fact that we will not overtake our master. We will not get beyond our master. This is true negatively, as we have seen. If you listen to hell-bound teachers, you will follow them to hell. You will not go to heaven if you hearken to those who are going to hell. The stream doesn't generally run higher than its source. But positively, if Christ is our master, if Christ is our teacher, we are his disciples, then we will not get above him. We will not attain in this life. We will not consider ourselves beyond him, but seek to be rooted and built up in him and complete in him. We will never reach a point where we need to move on from being his disciples to supposedly higher things. There are no higher things than believing, being conformed to, following after, being like Jesus Christ. There is no higher plane. That was the heresy that seems to have been being peddled in the book in Colossae, when the book of Colossians was written, that there were those who claimed to have got beyond simply being Christians, disciples of Christ. They'd moved on to higher echelons of experience and knowledge and initiated into a realm beyond that of discipleship of Christ. Well, they hadn't. They just never understood what discipleship of Christ was. Neither has anybody who thinks they've got beyond that level. If you don't think that you still need to learn what Christ teaches in the Scriptures so as to believe it and follow it, if you've got above being Bible readers and offering prayer to God, you've gone astray. Your pride has carried you away. You are not above being a disciple of Christ. Any thought that you are is a delusion. You must still learn what the Bible teaches. You must still learn what to believe from Christ the King as given in his word. You must still learn how to glorify Christ from the Holy Scriptures. And that brings us fourthly. We must become like our teachers. We must become like our teacher. Verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. The word perfect here is in the sense of being fully trained, fully taught. And so those who are taught by Christ will become like Christ. The disciples of the Pharisees would become Pharisees, tenfold more a child of hell than their teachers. But those who are taught of Christ will become Christ-like. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Those who learn of Christ, those who come to Christ for forgiveness of sins, first of all, and learn more and more of him, they will become meek like Christ. Christ's meekness consisted in his submission to the will of the Father, in his sinless human nature. We saw that at our communion time. And those who learn of Christ will become Christ-like. They will become submissive to God, and they will follow his word, and they will be submissive to his providence, and they will not resent God, as Christ never did. Never did Christ resent God, even on the cross, even in the 3 hours of darkness. He never resented God. And those who are taught of Christ, those who come to him in the gospel, and trust him to take away their sins and then learn more and more of him, they become like him. They become conformed to him. They become living epistles, known and read of all men. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch because people knew that they talked, they spoke, they seek to live for Jesus Christ. Well now, some simple applications. First of all, our supreme teacher must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Our supreme teacher must be the Lord Jesus Christ. We must call no man master in the sense of attributing final authority to them. God has given us an infallible scripture, a Bible, and we must attribute infallibility where it belongs, in the scriptures. And so we acknowledge ourselves as disciples of Christ, first of all, when we bow to the authority of Holy Scripture, which Christ has given to us by his Spirit. The Old Testament prophets, the Spirit of Christ was in them, moving them, bearing them along, to write exactly as they did. And when the Lord Jesus was manifest in the flesh, he upheld the authority of the Old Testament scriptures, saying, it is written, the scripture cannot be broken. And when he was exalted to the right hand of God, he gave gifts to men. In the early days, he gave apostles and prophets to complete the scriptures. But thereafter, he gave pastors and teachers to explain those scriptures. But infallible authority is to be found in the scriptures. And so if we would be disciples of Christ, we must be believing students of the scriptures. Very basic. And then we must call upon God for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to give us understanding in his word. We're told that the disciples, that when Christ opened their eyes, the risen Christ, then they understood the scriptures. Do you know that you can't understand God's word by nature? That you cannot receive it? Do you understand that? Do you understand how helpless you are by nature? That except by the Spirit of God, you don't receive the truth of Scripture. You either distort its meaning to leave your pride untouched, or else you understand but put it to one side and don't follow it. Do you know that? Do you know yourself that you need Christ to give you understanding, to open your eyes, to behold wondrous things out of his law? Or do you treat the Bible like a textbook, that you have the ability to read the words and you can just gather up its information and follow it, and you don't need God? This is a recipe for disaster. The truths of Holy Scripture, Scripture is breathed out by the Spirit of God, and we need the Spirit of God to give us that meekness, that not only understanding, but to incline our hearts into the way of his statutes. Don't expect to progress in Christ if you will not study His Word and call upon God for His Spirit to guide you into all truth. If you declare your independence of God, that you don't need His Word, really, and that you do not need His Spirit to receive His Word, don't expect to progress in Christ. You've overreached yourself. You do need the Bible. And you do need the Lord to give you understanding. And if you think you're above those things, you're on the way down, not up. The world will not teach you to follow Christ. The ungodly will not teach you to follow Christ. The ungodly media will not teach you to follow Christ. The opposite. You need to be in the footsteps of the flock. The word, prayer, the means of grace He has appointed, the fellowship of God's people. Well now, believers, which way are you going at present? Are you becoming more conformed to Christ or more conformed to the world lying in wickedness? Who are you listening to? Which voice is governing the way you live? Is it the voice of the Son of God speaking in the Scriptures? Or is it the influences of the world? Are you going forwards or backwards? We need to ask that, don't we? True it is, it's difficult to see progress. The difficulty lies in that the more we progress, the more sensitive to sin we become. And sometimes we feel as though we're going backwards when maybe we're not. But nevertheless, the question has to be asked. Who are you listening to? If you can't see the progress, or if you're afraid of pride, and therefore hesitate to say, yes, I'm progressing. Well, let's put it this way. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the Word of God? Do the Scriptures govern your life? Are they molding you? Or are you listening to any Tom, Dick or Harry who spouts the wisdom of this world? But then a second thing we must look at is our attitude to merely human teachers. Our attitude to merely human teachers, that is, fallible human teachers. Men must be evidently under shepherds of Christ to have anything to say worth hearing. But we must be teachable. When we come to church, when we listen to preaching, we're not there to be judges, to be experts, to be connoisseurs. We're there to be taught. We're there to learn what the Bible teaches. Aren't we? Because we want to do it. We want to know how to glorify Christ and to be conformed to Him. But we must assess spiritually, not censoriously. But we are meant to be like the Bereans who searched the Scriptures, even when listening to an apostle, they searched the Scriptures to see whether these things were so. Not proud. Not priding ourselves on our expertise, but honestly before God, wanting to know what His Word teaches. And then when we know, we hold fast that which is good. The Apostle Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That sets the limit. We follow teachers as they teach what Christ has given in the Holy Scripture. We follow their practice so far as it conforms to the Word of God. So Christ is our supreme teacher. This is his Word. We assess all in the light of him and his Word. We assess all that we hear and see in the light of his Word. And even within the Church of God and under the public preaching of the Word, we assess, are we getting what the Word of God teaches? And if we are, then we embrace it with meekness as the truth of God. But then a final word to those who have never truly listened to Christ. Those who have never truly listened to Christ. Perhaps there are some of you who have not begun to truly listen. Yes, you're aware of the facts of the gospel, but you prefer to listen to other voices, flattering voices. You prefer to listen to the consensus of this generation that tells you all is well, when it isn't. We're surrounded by voices telling us that there isn't a hell, there isn't a judgment. And if there is a hell, decent people like you shouldn't go there. There are voices telling us these things. Some aren't even bothering to tell us that. They're just sweeping along a generation in hedonism, pleasure-loving, nothing even as articulate as to deny the truth, just a wave of falsehood in practice. Not even telling people not to think biblically, but to think in some other way, but telling them not to think at all if they can avoid it. However many voices are telling you in this world that you don't have to be saved by Jesus Christ to have eternal blessedness or to avoid eternal misery, they're telling you lies. You do need Jesus Christ. You must hear his voice. You must hear his assessment that you are a sinner, that you do deserve damnation, but that there is mercy and forgiveness to be sought and found in our Lord Jesus Christ, the bearer of guilt, the substitute of sinners, who still says to sinners, come unto me, learn of me, I am meek and lowly of heart. Amen. Let us come to God in prayer. O gracious and eternal God, we worship thy holy name. We thank thee, O God, for the Holy Scriptures. And O God, we pray, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. We are so poor and needy. O Lord, we acknowledge in ourselves that there is no good thing, no natural ability to receive thy truth with meekness. We pray, O God, for thy grace to enable us always to receive the word of the Lord with humility of mind, seeking to know what God the Lord shall speak, so as to walk in the light of the Lord. These things we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.